No, I'm very happy to be here. I know everybody says that. Everybody says, oh, I'm so happy to be here. And you can't blame them. You can't blame them. I mean, you can't walk on a stage and go, ah, fuck, not this dump again. That gets awkward. Even if you're thinking it, which I'm not. No, I'm very happy to be here. I know what you're thinking, Craig, how can we trust you? How can we trust you? We've been hurt before. Here's how you know I'm genuinely happy to be here. About 2 years ago, a little less, my wife had a baby. Thanks, everybody. I had sex. Yeah, so there's a little baby. There's a baby living in my house, an actual living baby in my house. So you know I am fucking happy to be here. This whole idea of doing a special and stand-up comedy show is just so I can get a fucking night's sleep. That's all it is. I just want a night in a hotel, some room service and some porn. That's all I want. Something delicious and then room service. Don't worry, I'm not just here to get away from my children. Of course, I've got a joke for you. I've got a joke. Don't worry, I'm sure I do. I do. I have a joke. A joke for you. Told to me by my friend Drew Carey when he was fat. That's important. When he was fat and funny. Not this thin Drew Carey. Not this thin Norval Rickenbacker motherfucker that he is now. Fat Drew Carey. Fat. When he was funny, because fat is where comedy is stored. That's why I tell anybody that sees me naked, I'm like, what are you talking about? This is my jokes. This is, there's titters, there's a couple of titters here, people tittering, is like and there's my big finish here. Like, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I'm not just here to get away from my children. I'm not. I love my children. Of course I do. They're beautiful, whatever their names are. They're gorgeous. No, they are. I love my kids. I do. And I adore them. I was right there when they were born. I was right there when they were conceived. I think. You can't be sure. One of them's Asian. That's not true. That would be awkward, though, wouldn't it? Like, congratulations, Mr. Ferguson. Look, an Asian baby. No, I was definitely, you know, there. I don't know if I was there when they were conceived, because, you know, conception takes place up to 24 hours later after sex, you know, in the woman's body. So I might have been doing what I do after sex, which is standing by the refrigerator crying. I'm a dirty whore. But anyway, I was definitely in the room when my kids were born. I was right there in the room. I watched that baby come flying out, and then that other thing come flying out after the baby. I'm like, what the fuck is that? What's that thing? They're like, don't worry about that. I mean, don't worry about it. It's the same size as a baby. What the fuck is it? Like, what is it? I've only budgeted for one. Does that go to college? What is that thing? What is it? The kit? What is it? Like, don't worry about it. I'm like, I am worried about it. They're like, no, no. And the doctors and nurses going, oh, isn't it so beautiful? Isn't this such a beautiful experience? I'm like, it's all right for you to talk like that. You're only here for the day. I've got to come back to this area later on with a completely different agenda. No, but I love my kids. I do. Children are awesome. They're great. I believe they're our future. It's just when they're babies, they're fucking, anyone who's got a baby knows, anyone who's got kids, babies are fucking unreasonable shits. They are. I mean, kids are beautiful. Aren't they adorable? Oh, it's Christmas and their little pajamas and shit. But oh my God, when they're babies, they're fucking evil. They're screaming in the poo and they're they cry over them. You can't reason with a baby. You can't talk to them. You can't say, come on, I've put on your diaper. I fed you. What's wrong with you? They just cry over every argument you've got. They cry right over the top of you. It's like living with Glenn Beck. That's a risky joke in D.C. It's like living with a psycho midget German prostitute. Which I have done, actually. In Amsterdam in 1987, for a little while. But it's the screaming and the poo, and the screaming and the poo. It's like, ah! I mean, my wife is great, but the screaming and the poo. And the baby's like that as well, the screaming and the poo. And it's the sleep deprivation that drives you fucking crazy. I haven't slept in 2 years. Really, and it's not like they keep you awake all the time. They wait, they're evil little shits, they wait. They wait until you see you falling asleep. They're like, I got to work, I got to work. Everybody in here who's had a baby at some point has thought, I think my kid might be the Antichrist.
One of us is right.
Sleep deprivation is weird, though. It makes you think really weird thoughts. You know that studies have proven, my own studies have proven this. No, this is true. Studies have proven that 3 days without sleep is exactly the same effect on your body as a tab of acid. And I'm talking real acid, not that shit that you kids take today. All like, oh, this ecstasy, I'm tripping. It's just like acid, look, I'm tripping. Look at you, not tripping. Look at you walking around, talking, breathing, being able to converse, dance and shit. That's not tripping, that's coffee, you little fuck. I'm talking acid. I'm talking acid. I'm talking...
Psycho. I took too much acid.
Dr. Phil. Let's have a look at this. Dr. Phil, what's your problem with Dr. Phil, Craig? Well, it's the fact he's not a fucking doctor! What are you talking about, Craig? He's Dr. Phil. That's right, that's his name, Dr. Phil. It's not his qualifications. He's Phil McGraw, PhD. PhD, isn't that a doctorate? Fine, you let him take out your fucking appendix, motherfucker. He's not a doctor. Craig, are you saying Oprah lied to us? Yes.
I gotta keep moving now. Oprah's people have scopes. Gail up in the balcony, you motherfucker, I tell you.
Nah, Dr. Phil's not a doctor, he's a PhD. Like, if your appendix bursts tonight, Dr. Phil's there or a doctor, who are you going with? Exactly. It's not that hard to get on TV and tell people how to live. The fucking Kardashians are on TV! Not that I'm against that, actually. I'm not. That Kim Kardashian's got a lovely ass. She has. There's always room in show business for someone with a lovely ass. That's how I got started.
Make way for leprechauns.
No, great asses cause a lot of fucking problems. I've lost half my stuff twice due to great asses. That's all my stuff once. No, a lot of trouble in the world caused by great asses. Wars, human suffering is caused by great asses. The first documented war in human history, the Siege of Troy, the Trojan War, that was caused by a great ass. Helen of Troy, renowned for her great ass, was living in Greece, and she was visited by Paris from Troy. He's like, ooh, that's a lovely ass. Come live with me in Troy. And she's like, okay. And she went and to live in Troy with him, and the Greeks were furious. They marched over to Troy. They're like, show us her ass. How dare you? And the Trojans, who I always imagined to be French for some reason, were like, no, you can't see her ass. I'm looking at it right now. I think I'll rub butter on it. Garlic butter. 10 years the siege of Troy went on. 10 years. And then eventually the Greeks were like, you know what? Fuck you. We're going home. We left you a horse. And the Trojans, who were fucking stupid, let's be honest. The Trojans are people who named themselves after a condom. Like, how did they die out? Guess, motherfucker! The Trojans see the horse, they're like, oh, look, they left us, I love the horse. What's this? Oh, thank you for the war. That's nice. Bring it inside. I mean, even if they just listened for a second at the sight of it, you'd have heard it like, shut up. No, you shut up. I thought we agreed no farting in the horse. I can't help it. I get nervous before a battle.
That's a phrase you don't hear often. Good old Nazis. No, listen, Nazis are very useful if you're in my line of work, because, you know, it's the one group of people you can really fucking stick it to and nobody cares. Like, no matter what I say about Nazis, it's very unlikely I'm going to get a letter or a tweet or an email tomorrow from somebody saying, "Dear Craig, I am a Nazi and I am very upset." That's this negative stereotyping of Nazis. Because even if you are a Nazi and I've upset you, fuck you, you're a Nazi. Even the neo-Nazis, the neo, of course, means new, the neo-Nazis. You're like, well, what's new about you? Well, we march up and down and we hate ethnic minorities. I'm like, that's not fucking new. That's the same as the old Nazis. You want to be a new Nazi, you got to bring something new to the party. Bedazzle that swastika, mister. Let's see some heels in those jackboots. I got to move, because these guys definitely got scopes. No, Nazis are just useful if you do what I do, because, you know, there's only two groups of people you can talk about with any degree of safety. Everyone else is very, very touchy. And I don't mean touchy like Mr. McGugan that used to live next door to me when I was a kid. That's right, laugh at my pain, you bastards. Craig, I've got some change in my pocket. He's a lovely man. No, everyone is very, very sensitive. Everyone's very, very... You can't talk about anyone. There's only two groups of people you can talk about with any degree of safety. Nazis and Canadians. That's it. That's it. Nazis, because who gives a fuck if you upset Nazis? And Canadians, because Canadians have figured it out. They're very smart. They figured it out. They have realized it's a fucking joke. Canadians are like, oh, yes, that's right. It's a fucking joke. To be honest, Canadians are just happy to be included. This is like, he's talking about us. I know. We're on our way. Not that I'm caring. I'm not comparing Nazis to Canadians. They're not the same at all. Nazis, bastards, Canadians, lovely. Oh, lovely people, Canadians. Gentle, civilized, beautiful people. Till you give them a hockey stick, then they lose their fucking minds. Like, ah! I don't know why the Canadian Army bothers with tanks and guns and bombs and shit. They should just give their guys hockey sticks and go, "There you are, boys. The Taliban have the puck." Sorry. No, I don't believe in hating on people. I mean, fuck that. Life's hard enough. I don't want to be hating on people. I also think it's bad karma. It comes back and gets you anyway if you start all that fucking oppressing people. Like, it seems to me every couple of months there's always some fiery preacher who's always like, "I hate the gays, I hate the gays, I hate the gays. Oh, I hate the gays with their sweater vests and the House Hunters International. I hate the gays, I hate the gays." And they hate the gays, and then they get caught in a massage parlor blowing an Armenian sailor. Now, if this happened once, I'd let it go. But it hasn't just happened once. It happens every couple of months. And you fucking know I'm telling the truth. Every couple of months, it's like, "I hate the gays, I hate the gays, I hate the gays, I hate the gays, I hate the gays." I'd go as far as to say, if you are really interested in oppressing and hating the gays, it might be a sign you're gay. So, you know, before you begin your system of oppression, you might want to, you know, just try some gay things. Gentle gay things, mild gay things. Put some scatter cushions out. Shave with the grain. Suck a cock or two. I'm here to help. Suck a cock or two. See what happens. If you don't like it, who loses? No, you're right. That's too far. Is it? I don't know. I don't think so. Look, I have to say, I've been all over the United States. Really, I've been in every state in the union. I've performed in every state in the union. I've been all over. And I have to tell you, 99% of Americans that I've met don't give a fuck about what you're doing or what you're up to as long as you stay the fuck off of their property. I don't give a fuck what you wear or who you do it with. You stay the fuck off of my lawn.
And that's it. It's just, you know, it's just easier to look at other people's shit than you don't have to look at your own. There you are. Where's my fucking PhD? That's it. That's it. That's why the gossip, you know, websites and the tabloid magazines are always like, fucking other people's shit. But you know what? I'm fucking sick of it. Every time I go in a fucking supermarket, there's all these tabloids around and it's always Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, Angelina Jolie. What's going to happen now? Who gives a fuck? I don't care. 7 years of shit's been going on. Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, Angelina Jolie. What's going to happen now? I don't care. If you don't know the story, very briefly, here's what it is. Just very briefly, here's apparently what happened. Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston were very happily married, and they used to live in a lovely house in Malibu. And they were asleep one night. And while they were asleep, Angelina Jolie crept into their house. And she was wearing a striped shirt, and she had a bag with a dollar sign on it. And she stole Brad Pitt, stole him like he was a fucking toaster. I was like, come on, I don't believe this shit for a minute. And they always paint it as like, you know, Brad Pitt's this kind of dumb guy, he's like, I don't know, and Angelina Jolie's like, like snidely fucking whiplash. Poor Jen, her heart has been broken one more time. Like, oh, for fuck's sake, come on. Men can't be stolen away like that just because another hot woman comes along. I can't finish this without laughing. No, wait, that's not true. We're not that shallow. I know you think we're shallow, ladies, but we're not that shallow. Well, not after the age of 40. Then we just get, you know, like, fuck it. I'm good here. I need to move all my stuff. It's fine. Anyway, what I'm saying is, you know, it's just that Hollywood, these weird fucking ideas start happening in Hollywood, and then because Hollywood exports the, you know, pop culture, it gets into the fucking mainstream, and then weird shit gets believed. Like, this is true in Hollywood. There's, you know, just like normal people you think are normal, and they've got these fucking weird ideas. There's a friend of my wife's, a lovely woman, friend of the family, really. She's a lovely woman. She's, you know, her kids go to the same school as my kids. She's, you know, she's a soccer mom, drives her kids to school, all that. Just like a normal, regular woman. Except every couple of months, in order to get rid of the negative energy in her body, she puts a hen's egg in her vagina. That may be the noise she makes as it goes in as well. I don't know, it depends if it's been in the refrigerator or not. All I'm saying is, she does, she puts a hen's egg in her vagina. You know, her own vagina, not my wife's vagina. No, I know. No, she puts a hen's egg in her vagina, and I'm thinking, look, that's dangerous. That is dangerous. What if you were out somewhere and that hatched? You're like, is your vagina clucking? Would you like it to? Look, I'm not trying to rain on your parade. If you want to put a vagina, you know, an egg in your vagina, you're just an idiot. No, it's that. You know, it's just stupid. I mean, my wife said to her, does this work? Really, honestly, does it work? She said, oh, you know, it does. I know it sounds weird, but it does. Whenever I take it out, I feel such a sense of relief. Like, yes. I don't even have a vagina. The idea of a hen's egg in my vagina makes me uncomfortable. I fell victim to that kind of thinking too, though. When I first moved to Hollywood, I was very, very twitchy. I'd just gotten sober. I was very, very twitchy and very volatile, very, even twitchier than I am now. I was like, you know, when Daffy Duck drinks a potion in a cartoon or something, I was like, like that twitchy. And I was like that all the time. So, you know, the only employment I could get is that of an actor, because you can do that if you're insane and stupid. Yes, you can. Here's how you do it. You pretend things. It's like, oh, it was very hard work in this movie. Really? What did you do? We pretended things. Oh, fuck, that must have been really hard. Here's how you do acting. Oh, what's that over there? There's nothing there. I fucking acted right there. Anyway, what I'm saying is, I was working as an actor, and I was working with this a very new age actress, a very nice woman, lovely woman, very caring person, but very new age and very Hollywood and very all that kind of, you know, eggs and all that kind of stuff. And when we weren't on the set together, I'd visit her in her trailer. I would visit her in her trailer, and I was so twitchy and upset, and she said, baby, your problem isn't alcoholism. I was like, it isn't? Fucking great, let's get drunk. She's like, no, honey, your problem isn't alcoholism. Your problem is that your aura is misaligned. Your aura is all out of whack. And I'm like, my aura? What, you mean I'm farting? She's like, yeah, but no. No, what happened? Your aura, baby, it's all out of whack. You need to have your aura worked on. You need to have an aura adjustment. You need to go and have an aura massage. I'm like, you're fucking high. She's like, you gotta go or no more visits to my trailer. I'm like, okay. So I went. I went to this place. It really exists. It's in Hollywood. It's an aura massage spa. But you can go and have your aura massaged. And I went and I walked in. And it's just like a regular spa place. You go for a massage, you know, the people wearing the white coats and the little rocks and the little trees and the little fountain and the Enya music playing and all that stuff. And like any guy going for a massage, I'm thinking, am I going to get jerked off here? I mean, you know it's not going to happen, but it might happen.